Hi, I'm Dr. Jillian Murphy, a naturopath, healthy-ish lifestyle architect, body joy seeker, and French fry activist. And you're listening to 100% Healthy-ish. Here's the thing. As a naturopath and an intuitive eating, health at every size health coach, I have seen every angle and end of the health conversation. And after years of clinical and coaching experience, I've developed a framework for feeling good and having fun that I know you're gonna love. To be healthy-ish, we move beyond the boring basics and consider some ish you have never thought of before when it comes to your health. Are you ready? It's gonna be fun. Let's go. Hey, hope you're having a great day. I'm excited to be doing another episode with someone who I created a healthy-ish blueprint for as I was beta testing this framework. Not really beta testing. It was more like double checking and verifying a new form of the framework. So I already recorded with Alex Morinello. If you haven't listened to that episode, I highly recommend. Alex is amazing. And you got to hear her perspective on getting a healthy-ish blueprint. And today you're going to hear Heather's perspective. Heather Drudge is a digital strategy, branding, and incredibly beautiful website maker who I had the pleasure of meeting at a Smithery photo shoot. And then from there, we maintained this kind of like light online friendship, but then our lives just kept crisscrossing. And there are so many parallels right down to the fact that I now see Heather's therapist, like we have the same therapist, which I just love. But anyway, today we are going to talk about Heather's healthy-ish blueprint. We're going to talk about what it's like to try to take care of yourself when you're a single, super busy entrepreneur, when you have homes in Ontario and PEI and you're traveling, and what it looks like when your space is always changing. We're going to dig into some of the pieces of the blueprint that were the most impactful or surprising, and also where she's continuing to work and explore and experiment. So I think you're going to really love this episode. Heather is just the sweetest, one of a kind. And I was personally really interested to work with her because I think that she does an amazing job actually of taking care of herself. And so I think it's interesting to dive into the fine tuning. You know, if the fundamentals are in place, if things are not an absolute mess when I get in there, what do I have to contribute? You know, and I really wanted to dig into that and see how that felt. And it felt really great. And I think that Heather enjoyed it. It was a privilege and an honor to put together this blueprint for her. And I felt like she got so much out of it, which is always just, you know, amazing to hear. So let's take a listen to Heather and her healthy-ish blueprint experience. Forget healthy. It's time to get healthy-ish. This is the cashmere and chocolate sauce of health plans for busy, bougie women like you who are ready to feel vibrant without giving up any of the adventure or croissants life has to offer. I'm Dr. Jillian Murphy, and I'm over here disrupting the wellness industry, offering up something completely unique that's desperately needed in the wellness space. I have seen every angle of this health world shiz, from naturopathic diets and protocols to intuitive eating and weight-neutral healthcare. I have been trained in and taught in all of it over the past 16 years, and here's the truth. Hyper-focusing on food restriction, exercise, and weight loss to achieve energy, radiance, and vitality doesn't work. Ambivalence about food, exercise, and body to achieve energy, radiance, and vitality doesn't work either. So what does? Welcome to the Healthy-ish Life one-on-one deep dive, a bespoke coaching experience to create your personal magical formula for health, one that's juicy, focused on all the things you love, and helps you create the most dope version of yourself instead of burning you out or boring you to tears. I'm going to help you break down the constant disconnect between healthy and happy so that you can finally put toxic internalized beliefs and behaviors behind you, actually enjoy taking care of yourself, and start living a big, bold, beautiful life. We'll look at food and movement, yes, but so much more. Like the core of yourself, your mindset, your environment, your clothes, your fridge, so that you can feel good in and about your body. The Healthy-ish one-on-one deep dive is my first ever 5-month program that goes in depth on every aspect of your life with some outside help from supportive life-enhancing experts. Plus, you get a completely tailored to you Healthy-ish blueprint that'll lay out your entire master plan for both during our work together and long after we part ways as you ride off into the sunset in a sexy pair of jeans. Here's what's included: your 10 plus page Healthy-ish blueprint, a 60 minute human design deep dive on you, how you operate, how you balance your energy, and your best ways to eat and move, ongoing health coaching and accountability, high level coaching from 1 to 2 other expert collaborators in the areas where you could use the most support, personal assistant support, and Voxer access to me as needed. The expert collaborators are leaders in the health field who will be handpicked by me and approved by you to address areas in your Healthy-ish blueprint where you could use more support. Think style, speaking, visibility, naturopathic medical, hormone hot takes, and more. Remember, this is not just about a health plan. So here's what you're going to do. You're going to go to the link in the show notes and click on Work with Dr. Jill for more juicy details. You're going to fill out an application form. There is no obligation here. Easy breezy. Fill out the application form. And if you're approved, you and I are going to hop on a quick call, no pressure, quick Zoom to see if it's a good fit, if you and I are a good fit, and if the work is a good fit for you. Bonus, the first 3 people to sign up in this spring quarter are going to get up to $1,000 of lab work for free, so that we can make your super customized Healthy-ish blueprint even more specific to you. All right. Can you imagine if we got to work together? It would be absolutely incredible. All right. On with the show.
Well, I like to refer to myself as like a part-time country mouse, part-time city mouse.
You have found a really good balance.
I have. And it's something I continue to strive for because it really is where I like having that balance is something that helps me thrive. So I grew up on a farm just north of Toronto, spent most of my 20s like trying to get away from there, you know, typical teen years. It's just like, oh, get me out of here. And then went away to university, had the privilege of doing a lot of traveling, lived in Europe and the UK for a while, lived in downtown for most of a decade, like in downtown Toronto for most of a decade. And all of those experiences sort of led me to this realization that it was an incredible place to grow up. And it's something that I mentioned just because it's something that I think is still so impactful in my life and including in my health and my work to this day. I did a lot of like experimenting in my professional life in my 20s. I worked in corporate banking. I worked for a couple of small businesses in more creative fields. And then in 2016, by complete accident, became self-employed. And so these days I work in the digital space. I craft social media strategy and content for small businesses. I work primarily with women-owned businesses, which I absolutely love. And I build websites.
Yeah. And you and I, so we met, it's funny because yeah. I interviewed Susan yesterday from,
oh my gosh, no way.
Yeah. And so I met you and Susan both on a Smithery yeah. photo shoot and both of yes. you, I mean, I loved everyone that I met there. Actually, it was a really great group of people.
That was such a good group. Yeah. That was a really fun day.
It was a super fun day. We did this photo shoot. We had a great time. Yeah. And then somehow we just sort of stayed lightly connected yeah. online, which is fun.
Yeah.
And then I think last year we had all of these intersections. So you were living in Paris,
oh my gosh,
and then remember
yes.
I went to Europe with the family and I kind yeah. of hoped that we'd overlap, but we just kept missing each other by like a week. It was like, you were in London and then you were
like
in London and then
like
you were here.
Days at some yes. time. At some yes. point. Yeah. Yeah.
And then
same with PEI.
And then, yeah, you bought this house in PEI in Montague, which is like very close to where my parents live and like where I spend every summer and Christmases. And I think of it as the place I grew up, even though I actually grew up in Waterloo and then Fredericton. Like PEI was the constant for me growing up. Yeah.
It's so
I feel
interesting.
like there
Well,
was so
hopefully this
many.
summer we actually overlap here.
Yeah, I will let you know. Actually, I'll message you because I'm going to be there for
Yeah.
quite a while. So we'll definitely
Amazing.
connect because that would be so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we had these connections, and then actually we worked together a little bit, which was so
Yes.
fun.
Yeah.
You're amazing at what you do, and so that was amazing. And then when I was coming up with this new iteration of Healthy-ish, I really wanted to tap into people who I was like, okay, these are actually my ideal clients. Like, these are the people I would really love and want to work with. And so I came up
Yeah.
with a short list of them. And I was like, I'm just going to offer to create blueprints for them and see what they say and see if they're interested. And you were one of those people and you said yes. And
Well, thank you so much for thinking of me. I think it's such an awesome concept, and I'm super pumped to talk about it.
well, and one of the things I want to be really like, one of the things that I was like, Heather's going to be so interesting. Because you actually do take care of yourself really well. And so I was like, I want to play around with the fine-tuning aspect of things. Does that make sense? Like
Yes,
that I
totally.
want to go really into that realm of like, because I think I live in that realm. I take really good care of myself, but that doesn't mean that I feel great all the time. Like I am constantly thinking about like this, we're in the midst of eclipse season as we record this, and it like blew up my health world this week. And I think that that happens to us. Like we can be doing
Totally.
all the things right and taking care of things and eating relatively well. And then occasionally we just don't feel that great. So anyway, do you want to just fill us in on your sort of health, food, body journey a little bit? And then we can get
Yeah.
into the healthy-ish stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's so interesting. I feel like, again, like, and we can talk about this more when you talk about the blueprint, but one of the things that you brought up in it was just that experimentation is really important to me. And so it's really interesting hearing that. And then also just reflecting on what my health journey has been, both like as someone who's like self-employed and before that. And I was never super athletic. I danced when I was a kid. I wasn't like on sports teams or anything like that, but I was fairly active. And I think just growing up, like having a big property to run around. And then actually like becoming self-employed was a huge like turning point just in terms of my health and activity levels and all of that. Like, as you well know, like running a business is no joke. And working in digital, I can become very sedentary without really realizing it. And so there was sort of a point during 2017 and 2018 when I was like I actually just like fully let go of all of my exercise habits specifically. I had a second business that I was running at my family's farm. My grandfather was palliative, and I was very involved in helping facilitate his care and just with family stuff. And exercise started to feel like this extremely punishing thing. Like, to me, it was just like another thing to do. I was exhausted and depleted for all of these other like super valid reasons. And I just dropped it. I was like, this feels toxic. I feel like every time I'm doing this, it's like a punishment. I'm not enjoying it. And if I'm even doing it, and then if I don't do it, I'm beating myself up about it. So just like canceled all the things, all the yoga, all the gym, all of
Yeah.
the things. And then about a year into COVID, I was visiting my sister out here. She was living in Halifax at the time. And like, I was just realizing I had to quarantine for 2 weeks. So that was part of it. Like when I came to visit her, so I was like stuck alone in an apartment for 14 days and just had a bit of a like, those light bulb moments of like, how can I look after myself better and realized that like I needed to readjust that relationship to my health and movement specifically. And that would have been, I guess, the beginning of 2021, so like 2 and a bit years ago. And I just decided to commit to like 5 minutes a day. I was like, it
I
doesn't matter
love
what it
that.
is. I can like flail my arms around for 5 minutes. I can do yoga for 5 minutes. I can whatever for 5 minutes. And that's the only goal I still have when it comes to movement. And I call it movement, I don't call it exercise,
Yeah.
but it was like a 3, 4 year sort of like reset of like, what do I want this to look like? How do I get away from that sort of, yeah, that pun like exercise is punishment mentality, that I think is just like was culturally really a big
It's,
thing when I was
yeah,
growing up.
I really love that because it's a constant question. It's really interesting because with food, I don't know if this is like, I don't know if this is totally true. I've said this a few times and I'm still working through it in my own brain. But with food, I find people are able to sink into pleasure because there are foods that we think of as just genuinely just pleasurable foods, even if we still have some hangups about them. Like we can experiment with that and play with that and like figure out. I find people figure that out faster. And then movement is this thing that becomes a real sticking point because it's difficult. It's like every single time someone engages with movement, it triggers or pulls up all those old feelings or barriers or obstacles or toxic patterns that they had with movement, right? Like it's
Well, and
every
I think
so.
sometimes too, like the positive effects of it take a, like, this isn't entirely true. You get that sort of like dopamine, like good feeling after doing exercise if you're in the right headspace about it, I think. And so, but like the like longer term results, like food, you can eat something and be like, oh, that didn't make me feel good. And that happens, you know, relatively quickly. Whereas with the like longer term benefits of exercise, it takes longer, like movement, it takes longer to like sort of see and feel that sometimes. And so that process for me was really interesting. And like my body changed a lot, and all of these things happened. And it was just this exercise and like acceptance, and then finding my way back to it in this way that like there is some structure, but also it can look like whatever I want and need it to look like on any given day, based on my energy levels or like where I'm at in my cycle or how busy my work week is. And so I still like it's very like 9 times out of 10, it's far more than 5 minutes these days, but like 5 minutes is all that I
Is
need
still
to
the goal.
do to succeed. And I think that's just what's worked really well for me, is just keeping that sort of as
Well,
success,
that's
like
what I
that's
was
what
going to
success looks
say.
like.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say is that the tip or the tool that I give most people when they're trying to renegotiate their relationship with movement is we have to do things that are totally different from what you used to do in terms of timing. Style, feel. So, like, if you were a runner and you ran an hour every day, like you're gonna do yoga for 5 minutes, or like, you know, like we have to play with changing it up so that it feels completely different because it's the only way, and it's still tricky, but it's the only way that I found to get people to be able to like approach movement in a new experimental curious way. So for you, it sounds like it was more just about the timing. Like I'm just gonna, if I set it only for 5 minutes, no matter what it is, it's gonna feel more playful. There's gonna be a
And it was
totally
that
different
break
vibe and
too, like just
purpose.
taking that break and being like, I'm not holding myself to anything. And also, like you said, like that the doing something totally different. I actually just in the last like month and a half month have started horseback riding,
I
which
saw
is
that.
something I always wanted to do as a kid and did a couple times, but never like took lessons or anything. And it's like a totally new, totally different way of like being in your body, and like you have to be so present and whatever. And so I'm trying to mix more of that in, just like, yeah, something totally different that kind of like hits the reset button and is just like, whoa, like I can do this thing. This is crazy.
Well, and I think for many of us, myself included, and you're similar, new things are also really important to our health. Like for some people, they can stay in the same routine forever and ever and ever. And for others, we need some novelty. And I think that, you know, things like travel offer that up to us. But when travel isn't always available, it's fun to bring that into other areas of our lives, right?
Well, and that's a struggle for me too, because Ashley, who's a mutual connection of ours, described me once as like, I think it was like in a card or something she gave me for my birthday. And she wrote that I'm a free spirit on a direct flight path. And I've like that stuck with me because it's so like it illustrates exactly like the beauty and struggle of my life. It's like I want structure, I want rigidity, and this applies to like food as well, which we can talk about. But I also don't like it gets to a point where I'm like, well, I'm bored of that now. And my mind wants to be like, well, no, but that's the structure. That's what you have to do. So you have to do it that way every time. And so I'm in that like sort of phase of being able to recognize that that's not, that doesn't have to be the truth for me. And then bringing that like sort of experimentation back in with like food and movement and all of that specifically is interesting. And it also applies to like my work too. I know what I'm, when something starts to feel monotonous, it's like, okay, it's time to mix things up. It's time to like work with somebody new or take on a new web project or just like bringing some more variety into my day to day is important to me in I think every aspect.
Well, and I think that that's also about getting older and starting to redefine what structure looks like and how, like, how tightly you need to be closed in by structure, because you can have loose
Yeah.
structure that allows you, like I'm just trying to think of an example off the top of my head, but even with my own eating, like there's a pattern to how I eat through the day, but it's flexible enough that, like, a friend messaged me this morning and was like, "Do you have time to grab lunch today?" And I'm like, "Absolutely, I do," you know? Or, and I went
And I
for,
love that. I'm very much like that too. Like
it's
I
like my
want that
favorite thing.
flexibility. Yeah. And it's also why like I love being self-employed and it's a constant tension in all of these realms to really like some structure, be able to like get my work done, be able to nourish my body properly, be able to get that movement in and also leave room for like that freedom to
Yeah,
make
like
sort of a last minute choice too.
I resonate with that, because there was a teeny part of me today that wanted to be like, "No, I can't go for lunch. I have all these things to do." But, you know, one of the, okay, so this is a great example of loose structures that I've put in place, is that I have a loose structure that I have about 4 really good focused work hours in me in a day. That doesn't mean that there aren't other things. Like, I'm going to come back and later tonight I'm still like, I'm like rearranging my office and I'll take care of a few emails. But when it comes to like deeply focused, intense work, if I do more than that, I start to feel exhausted and I get a
Exhausted.
lot done. And just, I just did this with someone else. I recorded with them after doing their blueprint and I didn't pull it up. But you're a projector too, right? Like me? Yes, we're both projectors. And so for people who are new to the human design world, like, projectors have to really watch the ebb and flow of their energy. And we do. We're like cheetahs, right? It's like we can accomplish so much in a short period of time. But like, cheetahs run, what is it, like the fastest in the world for 10 seconds and then they sleep for like 23 hours. Right. And
That's totally me. I am very new to the human design thing, and a lot of what you had said in the audio you sent me was that was about that really resonated. And it's something that I've that's something that I'm like working on too, because it's like a cultural narrative for sure, just in terms of like productivity and capitalism. But it's like I will get so much done, and my inclination is to keep going because it's like, well, I got so much done, I can get so much more done. And it's like, it's actually not how I thrive. I
well,
actually need the rest.
I couldn't figure out, because I'm such a productive, energetic person in my mind, like, why I kept having these mini burnouts all through my life. Because that is the narrative. If I can get this much done in 3 hours, imagine what I could do if I worked 6 or 9. And so I
But it's just
hit,
not
like,
possible.
yeah, I took a year off in both my undergrad and my naturopathic degree when I look back. Like, I
Interesting.
hit mini burnouts, like, because I just, there was this vibe of like, you know, and that, you know, that saying in our culture as well, like, if you need something done, give it to a busy person. So I was always busy, so people would give me things. And it is like fighting against my, one of my goals for 2023 was to work like a projector. And in this eclipse season, what surfaced for me was I've fallen back into old patterns again. And I'm like, it is like fighting against every bit of programming that I've ever received in how I should work, how I should show up in my days. And so, but that is a loose structure that I'm trying to implement. Like, I don't actually have more than that in me. I can keep going, and there are some interesting things in my human design that aren't in all projectors' designs, where I have like some internal motors that I can keep going. But what's really interesting is that one of the motors is in my stomach. So one of the things that starts to show up first is stomach problems.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I can keep go I can keep myself going with these internal motors, but then I start to have digestive problems. So anyway, bit of a tangent, but that is like a loose structure. So it's not perfect, but it's like something that I'm trying to keep in mind as I structure my week, right?
That makes a lot of sense. And I mean, I think that did come up in the blueprint that you gave me because it was, I can tend to get caught up in the rhetoric of all or nothing thinking, and it's with work, with food, with movement. I mean, that I feel like I've kind of got locked in a better place now. It's like, yeah, I'm either going at 100% or I'm flat out at 0%, and learning how to sort of balance that for what works for me, as opposed to like what is supposed to be the case, has been, is an ongoing sort of work in progress, but is something that, I have to remind myself that I don't have to do. Like, I don't have to, it doesn't have to be all or nothing. It doesn't have to be an hour and a half long workout or walk or whatever. It can be 5 minutes, and it doesn't have to be, like green smoothies every day and none of this or none of that. It's like a little bit of everything is actually a much healthier approach to all of it.
Yeah, and human design kind of like that. When we're talking about movement, one of the reasons I love human design so much, not that I think that any of these things should be completely dictating what we do or don't do,
Sure.
but I think that it offers this like new framework for approaching things like food and movement that help us just get out of the old stories. Like it's so
Totally.
easy to get to think that we're doing something new. So like I had this conversation on the podcast yesterday about intuitive eating with someone. And she was like, well, I've really struggled with intuitive eating. I haven't been able to really do it. And I'm like, right. But what happens for most people is that they are intuitive eating, but they don't like what they find when they're intuitive eating because it doesn't
Interesting.
match up with old programming, right? Like maybe they eat more sugar than they think they should be, or their intuition in this case was pushing her to eat at night. And that's actually part of her human design. When we broke it down, it was
Fascinating.
like night eater is like her digestion. And she was like, I just thought that I wasn't intuitive eating because why on earth would my intuition be telling me to eat late in the evening? Right. So it's really
That's
helpful,
so fascinating.
isn't it? So it's really helpful to get out of that like old programming because it's difficult to even eat intuitively because we have so many rules in our head about what intuitively we should want and what our
Well,
food
and
should
I
look
think
like.
there's so many rules that are out there, and like I think there was two things that stuck out to me with like the food stuff in the
In
blueprint.
the
And
blueprint.
one was just giving myself permission to like snack, including having like snacky meals. I'm like, I have like those like plate bowl things, and like my favorite lunch is just like a bunch of this, a bunch of that, and like that can look different every day. And it feels like it's probably a very well balanced meal at the end of the day, but it's like very much like opening the fridge and being like, do I feel like veggies and hummus and this, or do I feel like that? And it's just like kind of making those decisions, and it makes grocery shopping kind of like so strange and sporadic, but it's what ends up making sense for me and how I want to eat. And so it was interesting that that came up. Obviously, like you had zero context for that.
No.
But the
But
fact
it's
that
like
that came
that's
up,
how you digest best is having these like
right?
deconstructed plates. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and going back to like, what I said about how I grew up and like living on a farm, another thing that came up was just like eating like super fresh food. And that was something that, again, like I fully took for granted as a kid, but like my grandparents lived on the same property as us, and they had a garden and we had a garden. And so I grew up eating out of the garden, and like as an adult have returned to that as being like a really big tenet of my life in the summertime, is like growing food with friends of mine and, sharing that and creating meals with it, and just like, plucking tomatoes and pieces of basil and popping it in your mouth right then and there. And like, so bringing that into like how I eat all year, obviously it's challenging in the winter when it's off season, but finding ways of doing that feels what feels best to me. And then the other thing that you brought up that was really like interesting and timely based on another conversation I was having is you were like, intermittent fasting is not for you.
No.
And it was really, really funny because I had just had a conversation about this. And it's something that I've tried, and I do not feel good doing it at all. And I know people who it works for. They swear by it. They're like, this just optimizes everything for me. I love how I feel doing it. And it's just not something that I feel good doing at all. And I think that's what can be so fraught about these conversations too, is it really is also personal. And yet the like narrative around all of this stuff in the like health and wellness space is not nuanced necessarily. Like
Right.
this person, it works for them, and so this is what they're preaching, and it may or may not be what works for you. And so it's just, yeah, it was interesting to just hear you like sort of echo some of these things that I was like, whoa, that feels really true for me anyways. And like the confirmation of that was really cool.
Yeah, because I mean, I've talked about this a couple of times, but I don't know if do you follow Kenzie Brenna on
Yes.
Instagram?
Yeah.
So she did this post a few weeks back, and it was like a laundry list of like all the things that someone might do over the course of the day to like, you know, make like for the, to optimize their wellness. And if just
Sure.
reading the list is exhausting, right?
Exhausting.
It's like all the things. It's like the cold plunge and the yoga and the meditation and the journal and the this and the that and the lemon water and the mushroom coffee and then the, and like it's funny because I do so many of those things, but what
Yeah.
makes it not an exhausting laundry list is that there's a ton of those things I don't do as well. And so it can be
Yeah.
like I think as affirming sometimes to figure out what's right for you as it is to
Yeah.
sometimes get affirmation like this is not for
Not.
you.
Yeah.
I there's this specific lab work that I sometimes do with people, and I always run all of the stuff on myself before I do it, obviously. And one of the things that came back was about my lipid metabolism. And it's like, you aren't great at it. And you should never be keto, essentially, was in this like very long report. And it's not like I ever wanted to be keto. Intuitively, the few times in my life that I've tried like increasing the fat in my diet in any significant way, like I have
Doesn't go
digestive
well.
stuff, it doesn't go well.
Yeah.
I'm like not absorbing things. And,
Yeah.
but it was so neat to see it in print, right? To be
Yes.
like, these pathways are challenging for you. A high
Yeah.
fat diet, a super high fat diet is never going to be great for you. And I was like,
Yeah.
perfect.
Yeah.
Again, I wasn't really planning on going keto, but it still feels nice to have
Yeah.
that affirmation. So it's not pulling my attention anymore, ever,
Right. You
right?
don't have to think about it. You're like, oh, I know that doesn't work for me. And yeah, that was like a super interesting and like thing that was super helpful in the blueprint was just like that permission to like let go of that stuff. And in as a result, just like learning to trust what does feel good to me. I'm not plant-based, but I eat probably like 80 to 95% plant-based on any given week, but I still need few animal products like eggs and a little bit of dairy are things that like my body does well with, and that's not the case for everybody.
Right.
And so learning that and just trusting that is like very, it's a work in progress, like everything, but it feels better than trying to adhere to like some sort of rule. And then also just allowing myself to like eat those things that I know that I'm not going to feel great afterwards, but like there's pleasure in that. Like I freaking love mini eggs, and every year around this time, I eat too many of them. And like at some point, I throw the rest of the giant bag in the garbage because it's like, we're done with this now. But like, they're so good.
They're
And
so good. I
I'm not
know.
gonna not eat it. And I mean, my relationship with alcohol has changed as I've gotten older.
Yeah,
And
what's that
like,
like?
I don't not drink, but I also don't really drink. Like if it's a social situation or I want a really nice glass of wine or whatever, I'm happy to do it. But last weekend I went out with some friends here and had like two or three drinks and just felt like garbage the next day. It was like it was worth it for the fun and the community and the whatever, but it's just
But you're like,
not
not that often, maybe.
something I want to do that often anymore. And it's just my body responds to it differently than it used to. I don't restrict it or I don't cut it out. I just know that it's not something that I feel particularly great consuming on a frequent basis and make the choices around that accordingly. And I think that I'm trying to get there with food as well.
Yeah, how's the community development been for you? Like just thinking about well-being and social well-being, like you moved as
Yeah.
an adult and as a
Yeah.
solopreneur to a new place.
Yeah.
That's
Yeah.
not easy.
I get lots of, so it's just you because I am not partnered. I'm like happily single and
Yeah.
have been for a long time. And also, and like, I actually just feel like I've lucked out. So one of my best friends and her kids live here. And so I see them often, and that's somebody that I've been in community with for a number of years. And then just like lucked out, have the best neighbors anyone could ever ask for. And like we go to the pub for trivia on Fridays and They've
Which
been super
one?
helpful with the house. Copper Bottom,
Oh,
just
yeah.
in town here. They've been super helpful with the house. And I also like, I feel like because I've done a lot of traveling as an adult, a lot of the time solo, which is like, I love that so much. And I know that that's not something
Same.
for like that everybody does,
I
but it's
love it.
my favorite thing in the whole wide world. And I love traveling with like friends and family when the opportunity arises, but that solo sort of adventure for me is really important. But as a result, a lot of my like relationships have been, at a distance or in different time zones. One of my best friends, we lived together for like 7 or 8 years on and off as adults, lived in Australia for a while. I lived in Europe for a while, and we've stayed really connected. And same with my sister. My sister's lived in the Maritimes for like 12 years, in Nova Scotia and now New Brunswick. And so I'm used to and sort of skilled at maintaining those connections when we're not physically present with each other. And then also making the effort to be with each other in community together in person as much as is possible. But I also just really like need and love alone time and time to recharge and time to sort of like fully introvert. I feel like I walk the like introvert extrovert line in a very real way. Like I've done the Myers-Briggs test a couple times, and if I'm like in a bit of a like winter season, just for whatever reason, personally, it's like introvert. And if I'm the other three letters stay the same, but the
Yeah,
I
it's like
needs to change.
INFJ or ENFJ. That's like me too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's sort of like here, some people that I can connect with in person, go for a walk with, go to trivia with, go have dinner with is great. And I'm just enjoying the like solo time too. It's
Yeah.
very life-giving for me.
So beyond the like food and movement, was there anything else in the blueprint that was like kind of surprising or interesting or that you hadn't really thought about when it came to like health?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, the biggest thing that still continues to be a challenge that was really interesting because you focused on it in like a really beautiful way was indulgence. And I
Oh,
mean,
yeah.
that can obviously apply to like food and movement and that kind of thing, but it's something that has been a theme in my like therapy that I do, like just like it's like burn the nice candles,
Oh,
wear
we
the
have the
nice
same therapist
clothes.
now as well, because you
Oh
referred me.
Oh my gosh, she's the best.
Sorry, I just remember that other connection.
Yeah,
We have the
no,
same
it's all
therapist.
good. I love referring people to her. I've seen her since I think I was like 14 or 15 years old. So like more than half of my life at this point.
Yeah.
So she gets
Yeah,
it.
she's amazing.
But yeah, like just I remember actually when I was working with Smithery, getting like a smash and test romper, which is like the ultimate like feel comfy, look cute, whatever. And I wouldn't wear it. Like it was like, oh, I have to save that. And it's like saving, what am I saving this for? What am I saving these earrings for? What am I saving this candle for? And so like that sort of whole piece of it, like the sort of indulgence and sensuality piece is something that is probably my biggest work in progress because it doesn't come naturally to me. Like I grew up on a farm. I grew up with like, parents who had both come from very like hardworking, modest upbringings. And it's like that was just not something that was part of how we operated. And so now being able to like allow myself that is super fun and interesting, but it takes practice because it's not something that comes easily.
Yeah, it can be really hard. And I always focus on that when there's the feeling or the sense in someone's work that they struggle with that, because I try to always reframe it. And I can't remember if I framed it exactly like this in the audio and in the blueprint. I hope I did. But just remembering that it's like the same, it's the opposite side, like it's the same coin as discipline, right?
Yeah.
And so if we want to access a certain kind of discipline, which is just like being committed to yourself and doing the things that feel good in your body. Like, we can't just think about that as the discipline of no. We have to think about
Right.
like the discipline of yes, and like saying
Yeah.
yes to things that feel good. And again, that's just part of the cultural conditioning, right? We really value any kind of efforts that we make to say no, to be restrictive, to be moderate, to be, you know, and we don't really sink in, but we don't understand that that's what helps balance, or that's what fuels the other part of the cycle, or the opposite side of the coin. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. So that's interesting. And like, yeah, like I said, like a work in progress. And I'm a big, I think this came up too, is like scent and aesthetics and yes. all of that are really big for me. And it like makes me, I think, skilled at what I do. Like a lot of what I do is very design focused and creative. And so, you know, just like a couple weeks ago, I like put a shelf up, you know, here at my desk and like have some candles and a beautiful calendar and like a moon phase calendar. And like, it's those little things. It seems so silly. It's like, when I think of like spending the time and money to do that stuff, it's like, oh, why do I need this? And then the minute it's done, it's like, oh, this is why. Like, I feel lighter. I feel like I can, you know, be more present in this space. And it makes like, it brings a little bit of pleasure into my work and in my work day in this space in a way that's like actually really important and helps me function better. So it is, and it feels like an indulgence, but it's also this thing that's actually really important to me and my well-being and like how I'm able to show up.
The way that I often describe it to people is like the sensuality, the indulgence, the like pleasure is literally like that well of energy that we're always looking for. And we're always thinking like, I'm going to get it from superfoods or
supplements.
And definitely those things can be foundational, but like it's inspiration that keeps us working and motivated, right? That feeling of like excitement and feeling energized and vital. Like it's so deeply, it really deeply comes from our environment and space and our sense of purpose and community, like all these things that don't seem related to well-being. And yet energy is one of the number one things that people come to see me about.
Well, and I think too, it's like the other thing I'm trying to put into practice, and it's getting easier if the weather getting nicer, but it's like, okay, so I bought a house here. And the joke, I didn't, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like the joke of people living in PI is like, nobody ever goes to the ocean. Nobody ever goes to the beach. No, everybody just like does their thing in their life.
We barely went to the ocean when I was growing up. Now, because I'm such an ocean person, and we all like live away and we have children, like this is all we want to do. But I feel like it was a big deal. And even still, I have one cousin that regularly meets me. I have 30 some cousins, and I have one that lives on PEI that regularly meets us at the beach.
It's so funny. It's like, I was like, how could that be? And then I got here and I have my office set up and whatever, you go about your day-to-day life. And it's like, I can easily go a week without doing it. And so what I've been trying to practice is like, I go for a walk along the river here every day. That's like just become a tenet of my day. That is really beautiful, and just being by the water and being sort of like feeling like you're in the middle of nowhere for 45 minutes is awesome, or for me is like a great feeling. And then if my energy levels are dropping at 2-3 in the afternoon, it's like, get in the car, drive 15 minutes and literally be on a beach where you can look into the ocean and see nothing but water. And it's like so invigorating
so
and
jealous.
Refreshing.
Yeah.
And it's like, why am I sitting at my desk trying to force myself through something, like force something that I know will take me 20 minutes, but is going to take me an hour and 20 minutes right now because my head is not in it. And I actually just need a break and a change of scene. And And so
I'm
trying
that.
To indulge in a way in those sort of behaviors and just making sure that that's something that I'm like doing to look after myself.
Yeah. I've always wondered, I think it is a byproduct of like, when you live somewhere and you never go to see the tourist attractions, I think it's that.
100%.
My dad, my mom's side of the family, many of them don't swim at all. Don't even know how to swim. Mm-hmm. My dad does. He did like all his swim lessons were at the ocean and he scuba dives. He also came from a family where they were fishing. So their work was on the water. So I think sometimes you come off the water. And it wasn't fishing like it is now. Like it wasn't this like, oh, you're going to be quite well off if you fish. It's like, it was very hard work for very little money. And I think it was like, you just wanted to get away. But I feel like our family's been reinvigorated with that like obsessiveness of being at the ocean. And that's essentially all we do almost every day when we're there.
Well, and I think it can be true of like, wherever you are, like when I'm back in Ontario at our farm, it's like going for a walk in the forest in the afternoon or whatever it is. It's like you can find those pockets for yourself in any environment, like even in the city. It's
Even
like
downtown
find a park
Kingston,
or
I walk in the mornings, I take photos. People are often like, oh, I just and Kingston is very pretty, don't get me wrong. It's like very historic, it's very pretty, but like people will say, I just wish I lived somewhere where there was beauty like that. And I feel like everybody lives somewhere where there's some kind of beauty, urban
Totally.
beauty,
And
forest,
there's also like
suburban beauty,
we
like
idealize things that we see through the eyes of other people. Like I've spent a lot of time in Paris, and Paris is an objectively gorgeous city, and also there's like completely trash streets that you walk down and there's garbage everywhere. Like I'm
yeah.
not taking and posting a photo of that, but that's also like I lived there for 2 months last year, and the road that I walked down to get to like the Seine and anywhere I was going to go do anything, it's like there's garbage everywhere on this road, and it's the fastest way for me to walk to where I'm going, and so I'm going to do that when I
Yeah.
need to. But it's like, yeah, that I think creating that, and this is something that I do really try to practice. It's like finding those moments of beauty, finding those moments of indulgence, regardless of your environment or your mood or, you know, what your stress levels are. That's something that helps me feel more grounded. And there's always the flip side. Like, I'm sure I'm making PEI feel and look very idyllic. And then you come here and, like, it is that if you look for that and if you
Yeah, but if
create that.
not, you
And you
can
could
just find
also
like
come here
gas
and be like,
stations
why
and
on earth
wind
are you
and
here?
yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's just, and that's something that I think I've had a knack for doing and like continue to practice doing. And it's,
Yeah.
yeah, it's just, I think something that yeah, like I said, it helps me feel really grounded.
And so I don't know how much you can talk about this. I know you probably can't get into too much detail, but I think it's neat that you've like bought this house in PEI and you're creating this new space for yourself because the farm in Ontario was a really key part of your who you are and your well-being. And then some things changed, right? And that space was kind of like taken out from under you a little bit.
That's been sort of the journey of the past couple of years for me, and something that's sort of coming to a close in the next little while. And it's been a lot to reckon with. Like, it's, you know, I started a business there. We did farm to table dinners before the pandemic. The pandemic obviously changed a lot. And then when the provincial government in Ontario changed and started incentivizing development, that changed shape for us as well. And so that property is going to look a lot different. And I mean, it's the only place I've known as home my whole life. And so I, about a year ago, just decided I didn't want to sink with that ship and have made the choices I've made just in terms of making a new home for myself. And so I'm still back and forth a little bit, but spending more and more time here. And that is really resonating in a way that is important for me, like just in my being. And so I'm kind of taking my cues from that. And that was something that came up a lot in the blueprint too, is like trusting myself.
Yeah.
And so like I spent November here. I went back to Ontario for the holidays and was like, okay, I'm gonna go back to PI after Christmas. And like it was like, well, that wasn't the plan, but it was what I felt like needed to happen. And so I did. And so it's a huge privilege, obviously, to be able to do this back and forth right now and to sort of have this slow goodbye, and release that sort of, you know, phase of life and home and everything like that. And it's something that I like behind the scenes and internally I'm doing a lot of work around, because it's really jarring. It's really sort of tragic how it's all happened without going into too many details. And things I'm actually really feeling very proud of myself for is looking after myself really well through it. And just continuing to stay committed to that, because I've gone through phases in life before where that's been the thing that falls away first. I'm very much like a people pleaser and a community-oriented person who wants to show up for people. And it's easy for me to sort of back burner all of my own needs, wants, whatever. And so I having some space out here has been one of the things that's made that easier. It's just like I can continue to look
It's
after
like an
myself.
actual boundary.
Yes, it's like a very literal physical boundary. And so yeah, I'm excited to sort of see what unfolds next. I'm really going into like this next phase of life of like, we'll see. And I think the like adventure lover in me is what makes that very like okay for me. And I think too, it's like level setting my expectations of myself and my life for myself, as opposed to adopting the expectations that our culture has or others have of me or of women. You know, there's and like we could talk for the next 2 days about all of this stuff, no doubt. But I think it's also really easy, and it's something that I have to battle in terms of like what I do for work. We live in this like chronically online culture, and we see these things that appear to be working for someone else. Like, do I recommend that just anyone picks up and buys a house in PEI and moves here? Like, absolutely not. It's not necessarily what would have been recommended to me, but it's what felt resonant for me and what felt right for me. And so it's something that I walked towards. And you know, the sort of the things that needed to happen for this to happen happened. And so here I am. But I think we see a lot of what's working for other people or what we perceive to be bringing other people success, whether it's in the realm of health or travel or life or whatever. And whether we're conscious of it or not, we internalize that and start feeling like I have to do this in order to be that too. And I think what's far more important and what's been far more important for me, like mentally and emotionally and physically healthy for me, is finding out what works for me. And trusting and following that, whether it's like a big, huge life transition thing like this, or it's just like what I eat for breakfast.
What do you think are the like biggest challenges as an online entrepreneur when it comes to like feeling good in your body and in your life regularly?
Honestly, the sedentary piece is for me really big. I think other people maybe. If like movement or moving around is something that comes more naturally to them, it may not be the case for everybody who does what I do. But for me, it's super easy for me to just be like, oh, I've been literally glued to this chair for 3 hours. Like, haven't gotten up, haven't moved my body. And so I actually bought this little clock thing that like
Oh,
it's like
yeah.
visual. And so I've been setting that, and like it helps a lot because it's just like, okay, I set it for 35 minutes and now I need to like go get a glass of water or make a cup of tea or do 30
Just
jumping
move.
jacks or like something. And so there's that. And then also, like, another way that I'm sort of trying to combat that is just incorporating like one or two horseback riding sessions in a week, going for a walk every day, just making sure. It not being this big like exercise oriented goal, but just making sure I have things in my day and in my week that are going to get me up, get me out of the house, get me out of my office chair, and moving around. And so that's been something that that's been a challenge. And I mean, like literally, I can correlate certain things in my health to like buying a car and becoming self-employed. Because before I had a car, when I lived in Toronto, I walked absolutely
Everywhere,
everywhere. Commuted on the TTC, whatever, walked to yoga. So it's like walking to yoga involves a 30-minute walk there and a 30-minute walk home, and driving to yoga does not involve that. And so those things, it's just like being mindful of those changes and then incorporating less sedentary time. I just have to be a little bit more intentional about it. So I think that for me has been a challenge. And then the other thing that can be challenging for me is the freedom piece. Like, I can set my own hours. I can work when I want to work, and it doesn't really make a difference as long as I'm delivering what I need to be delivering. And actually, just I've been trying to incorporate the last few months as just like a normal work day. And that isn't necessarily 9 to 5, but just what is that going to look like for me today and creating
Loose
some
structure.
structure. Yeah, exactly. Creating some loose structure around that. It's like, thing in design too. It's like rules actually contribute to the success. Like, you need restrictions in a design. You're not going to use every color of the rainbow or every shape out there, or every font out there. You have to sort of create parameters and enough with enough flexibility that there's like play and curiosity and exploration. And so bringing that into my work habits is something that it doesn't exactly come easily, but is really fruitful when I put it into practice.
Yeah, and the other thing that I was just thinking about is like, what are the ways? Because I know that you said the indulgence, sensuality kind of piece of the blueprint was the most difficult. Are there any tangible ways or any specific examples that you're working on that?
Well, one of the things for me, and it's like it can feel so silly, but like here and putting on a bit of makeup before I sit down at my desk as though it's like I'm going somewhere, but I'm not, even if I don't have a Zoom call or don't have any like reason to do that. It's just
Yeah.
something for me that helps me feel like a little bit pulled together, you know, putting on like a sweater like this instead of an old hoodie, like just those little things make a big difference. It's almost like this cue of like I'm taking myself seriously today or something like that. And it also feels indulgent because it's like, and then I'll like forget that I've done it and be like, oh yeah, I look cute today when I like catch a glimpse of myself in the mirror.
Yeah, I
And so
like
those are
that.
things, and like lighting a candle. Like I have a friend who has a beautiful scented candle company, and so I'm always like stocked up on her candles and like lighting one of those or a stick of incense when I sit down at my desk. It's just those little things create a little bit more of like a luxe feeling in my
Yeah.
work day, and that is really nice and something
Yeah, I'm
that
all
is
about
really
that.
helpful.
I'm all
Yeah,
about that. I feel like it changes my day as well, adding that little bit of
totally.
luxe. Okay, so let's just finish up. Anything not resonate in the blueprint or anything you would have loved to have seen more of or gone deeper on?
Honestly, I listened to it again yesterday, just getting ready for this, and just was like, hell yes. Like there was really not anything that was like surprising in like a I don't know about that way. One of the things that was so funny is there's one part in the audio where you're like, you experience a lot through your nose, which is interesting. I'm just talking about incense and candles, but it's also interesting because I had my nose corrected at the end of last year.
That's right. Yeah.
I had one side of my nose just like did not work and it was like not properly shaped and whatever. And it just got to the point where I was like, it was affecting my breathing and my sleep and a few other things. And so I had had that corrected. And then I think I listened to the audio you sent me, like, I don't know, maybe a 2 months after and was like, whoa, that's wild. Because it was like something that had been this low grade frustration that I finally took seriously and was like, this is actually impacting my health.
Yeah. And it
And
literally is part of how you take in the world. It's like, yeah, that was really
And
funny.
even just like the sensation of like being here and like smelling the ocean air, or like having candles in
Yeah.
my office, all of those things are really like the smell of like wood burning is really
My
like,
favorite. Yeah.
yeah, something that resonates for me just because of like it's like a smell from my childhood. So yeah, no, there was nothing in it that I was like, I don't know about that. And I think it was like the right level of depth in that I feel like there's still more for me to explore, which is interesting too. And I love that. And I don't want to, I'm trying to practice the like whole, like little bit at a time, like integrating a little bit at a time, as opposed to trying to go all in and like do it the all or nothing way. So it's something that I feel like I'm going to be returning to, which is really nice.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, thank you for being willing to participate and
Oh
then
my
come on
gosh,
and
thank
talk about it.
you.
It's so good.
Really? Yeah, thanks so much, Jill. This has been so awesome.
Hope you loved the episode. I love talking with Heather and getting to hear about how a healthy-ish blueprint is playing out. And don't forget, if you want yours, you can get it. You can get an a la carte blueprint with follow-up, or you can get the whole shebang, a full concierge experience where you work with me and some of my expert colleagues, and we form this like cocoon of support around you as we clean up all of the areas of your life so that you feel your absolute best, so that we get the most bang for your buck. We simplify and optimize, and just really finally figure this thing out once and for all.